My name is Darren Hupke, and this is Pixels and Polygons. Welcome to another episode of Pixels and Polygons. It's Friday, so that means it's new episode day. This episode is another fun one. We have a returning guest, Andre from Fine Time. It was a fun conversation. This is our continued conversation from the last episode he was on, and we had a lot of fun doing the This or That challenge. I've since retired this as like a main episode question to ask. Now I just ask this or that questions at the start of each episode before the main topic, just to kind of keep it fun and flowing. But it was still fun to take Andre through this. We got to answer a bunch of the questions and hear a bunch of cool responses. So we had some fun chatting it up. So enjoy that after the break. Other than that, business as usual. On pixelsandpolygons.net, you can find physical copies of the new issues of Retro Game Zine. So issue 3, the Final Fantasy XI issue with Milkman and other folks, is available to physically purchase. It's also available digitally on Patreon. And then in early April, you will see the physical edition of issue 4 available for purchase, as well as available digitally on my Patreon shop. So pixelsandpolygons.net and patreon.com/DarrenHupke/shop for the physical and digital locations for those. 32-bit library is available as well. And been working on the stuffs behind the scenes. I did announce the next issues, and by the time you hear this episode, the Kickstarter will be over, but there will be some late pledges available. So if you are listening to this and you want to look at snagging some of the issue 5, 6, and 7, those are available on Kickstarter right now. You should be able to find the links in the show notes below. Those cover games like Breath of Fire 4, Blue Stinger, and Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. So a little bit of a genre variety, but also generational variety. And it's been fun to put those things together. So I'm finishing up my writing duties, having some more contributors, more information, again, in the show notes on that Kickstarter page. And those are available month to month. I think that's it. You know, I don't got anything else really to ramble on about. Just keep playing games, keep having fun, and thanks for supporting and listening, whether that's buying digital books, buying physical books, buying nothing, and just listening to the podcast and sharing it with your friends even, like anything and everything. Big support, small support, I appreciate it, and thank you for coming back again and listening more. We'll be back again next Friday with another fun episode, but for now, enjoy my conversation with Andre and the This or That gauntlet that we went through. Have a good one. See you next week. Bye. Cool. Welcome to another episode. I got Andre back from Fine Time, returning to the show today. Welcome back, Andre. How you doing?
Hello. How you doing? Good to be here again.
Yes, and I do this, and I don't need to do it, but I have to do it because I feel like I'm just that person. We are literally recording this right after our last one, so if it sounds the same from that last session, it absolutely is. This is not falsely being re-recorded and something like that 2 months from now, but it is what it is. Let's just address it. So in case I reference...
If you want to let the people behind the curtain, that's fine. I wasn't going to blow your cover, but hey, here we are. That's fine.
I just want to be safe just in case, like, I reference something and it's like, I want people to have instant recall whenever they listen to the last episode when it could be weeks from now, you know? So, hey, we're literally talking right after each other, one after another.
We're used to it. On Fine Time, we do a bunch of dumb bits. So it's like, who's going to remember that from 3 months ago? Someone will. Someone will laugh, right?
So welcome back, or welcome to continuing to sit there from the first time you sat there. So yeah, last time you kind of gave us a rundown of who you were again. You can listen to his podcast, Fine Time, links in the show notes below, and you can check that out. But, maybe tell a little bit about what is the, let's see. What is the last game you like finished and like rolled credits on and are fully completed with?
Oh boy. I can't remember.
I mean, not that it's necessarily rolled credits, but a game you know that you're done with, like you've moved on and it's done and you're on to the next thing.
Oh boy. It can't be Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. That was months ago. I feel like I played something in between that, because here's the thing. I play a lot of stuff that doesn't end, right? Like, I play, like, stuff like Overwatch or now I'm playing Marvel Rivals, right? Like, or I play, you know, I'm not saying all I play is live services. At the same time, maybe it was one of those spoopy games, those little space games. I think it was Pools, maybe? Pools?
Mm.
Or, one of those, probably, because I played a bunch of those recently. Like Exit 8. That's probably one of those.
Yeah, I have that downloaded and purchased. I just have yet to boot that up. I'm curious to see how that works. It sounded rad just from reading the description. So I'm like, let's see what this is all about.
Yeah, it's wild. It's weird to play like quote unquote horror games with no like gore or like combat or zombies or anything. It's weird, but it's also still scary. It's bizarre. You'll get a kick out of them.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to try it out, because I explained it in the last one, which we just recorded minutes ago. I'm not a fan of horror games these days. I'm a fan of them. No, I absolutely love them. I take that back. Like, I like 100% love that they exist, because I was always such a fan of horror movies growing up, and still am. Like, I want to enjoy these games. I just don't want to feel dread and anxiety and terror and, you know, this potentially debilitating like feeling of not being able to advance. Like, it's just not for the sake of entertainment. It doesn't give me that joy that also came when I was younger. But I want to give that one a shot for sure. Exit 8 does seem cool.
Dragon Quest III HD2D Remake. I recently played all the way through that. Yeah, I gave that a good 75 hours or so.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was great.
I finished that too as well earlier, a couple weeks, months ago. Not that long ago. I think I finished the main game, got to the last boss, and I think I ended up turning on the difficulty to that their casual or whatever it is. And just so I can like see like what the post game like end like post game content was of like going to like this other realm essentially and climbing through this tower and fighting this dragon and stuff. But I eventually just got locked into, I clearly was not leveled up enough to get to that point. And the difficulty kept me in the battle of not being able to lose essentially. But I was not doing enough damage to the enemy. I was like, I'm doing some damage. I mean, this could eventually end. And I probably was there for like 30, 40 minutes. I'm like, I get it. I made it here. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I beat the main, you know, story and rolled the credits there. Like, I'm good. Like, I finished. I don't need to see this dragon be defeated. I'm just going to turn this off here and walk away. Yeah.
Yep. That's all. Rad. I didn't do a whole lot of that either. I poked at it just to see what it was. But I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need to. I've seen enough. A+. Right.
The next one, that it's going to be 1 and 2 together, or are they releasing them separate?
I think they're 1 and 2 together. I hope they're 1 and 2 together, because 1 is not a very long game at all. Unless they find a way to severely expand it. I don't know what they can do that, but I feel like it should be the 2 together.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remember it being, but I'm on board for that. So sign me up when you get there. Any of those like pixelated, like 3D, HD, 2D like things, like I've just been loving all of them. Octopath Traveler 2 was probably like my game of the year that year it came out and everything.
Mine too. I loved 2. As much as I loved the first one, 2 was even better.
I actually never got to play the first one because I'm locked in the PlayStation world. Don't let a game on my PC or anything. I guess there is a Switch in my house. I just choose not to play it. I choose to ignore it. I had a bad experience with Nintendo and a water-damaged 3DS and just never looked back. But it's just like I just felt burned by them. And it wasn't their fault, but it's still like I just was like I lost all of my Mii Force and my Street Pass game progress and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, man, I can't re-download any of this, can't re-access this. My saves are all gone. Like, I don't want to live in this world anymore. Once Octopath Traveler 2 was released, they did finally go back and release 1 on, like, Xbox and PlayStation and stuff. So I know I can go and play that now.
Now you can. They did it very recently.
Yeah, I heard 2 was better, and I was just hoping it wasn't, like, significantly better. I'm hoping that I still find some, like, joy and entertainment out of 1 compared to 2, but...
You absolutely will. You absolutely will. 2 is better, but the first one is still super good.
Cool. Yeah. And then Eidon Chronicles was also out. I still have to actually finish that, too.
I have not played that yet. I definitely want to.
I was on board for that Kickstarter, and I backed it at some like $200 level, or maybe higher, to get like some statuette or like something of one of the characters, and that has still not been shipped or anything. I don't think they're late on it, so I'm not like angry with them or anything, but like it's just been a process for all of that to be like fully like realized. Oh, you know what? I'm supposed to get, I should look into that too, but there's like a cloth map and other things that I was like all in on. So I'm like, yeah, sign me up for all of those things and like give them to me because I want this to be amazing. So I think that's in the back of my mind. Like I'm not progressing in that game because I'm waiting to have like all my jewels and toys and trinkets and everything.
All your baubles. I love stuff like that. I did something of the sort for Bloodshed. I didn't go $200 level, but I got some stuff. It did take a while to be fulfilled though, so sometimes those things just take a bit.
I use Kickstarters like for myself a lot, and I back a lot, and I keep always getting tagged with that super backer tag because if you back like certain amount of numbers a year over $20 or something like that, they give you this like tag when you leave comments, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm earning this like title, but clearly I'm spending too much money here.
I've only kickstarted a few things, including you. So
Well, right now that one's canceled. The most recent one.
But
recording this fresh off that wound is still open for me. But
I'm sorry, I didn't
mean to figure that out. No, you're okay. I brought up the Kickstarter thing, so yeah, that's just it's not their fault as a platform. It's not the company's fault for sending me that message, and it's not anybody's fault. You know, it is just life at the moment.
Yes.
But rad. Okay. Well, let's jump into the icebreaker before we get into the gauntlet. This episode, we're going to be doing the bringing back out the this or that gauntlet. So we'll run through a whole bunch of questions that you don't need to dwell on too much. I'd love to kind of hear your gut response. And then like, absolutely. Like if you need to explain yourself or debate it out loud into how you're going to make that choice, please do so. But, hopefully there's enough variety here that you, can have some good fun, like answers or responses or,
I love these
Sophie's Choice moments or anything with, we'll see.
Yeah, Fine Time is a very structured show. We're not scripted necessarily, but we have outlines, big outlines. Doing this stuff with like nothing in front of me is very liberating right now, I gotta say. So
just get to riff. Just get to riff it off the top of your head.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
All right. So let's do this one, because it's topical. This is the set for you for the icebreaker here.
Okay.
You're the newly elected mayor of Metro City. What does the Mad Gear do to you to try and blackmail you?
Oh man. What could they do to me? Yeah,
my response was they stole my PlayStation. Like my PlayStation account, I need my progress to get my trophies. I need my profile. I've been on board since the PS3 with that username and everything. Like if they took that, I'd be hitting the streets to crack some skulls to figure out how I was going to get that back, or my children. But you know, right, can't really rank it.
I think Okay, you know what? I think this will be the funniest thing. I come home to record and my microphone is gone. It's just gone. Mm-hmm. They stole my microphone. They stole my golden microphone that I spent $10,000 on that I don't have, right? Mm-hmm. And Damned just shows up on my TV, turn on my TV, and he's just talking into my microphone, slobbering all over it and shit. And it's just like, dude, can you just not? I have to give that thing a bath now. Disgusting. Don't let 2P touch my microphone, please. Do not let Elgato get near my microphone.
My car.
Don't let Eddie E touch my microphone, please.
Eddie E. Eddie.
Eddie E. Yeah.
Eddie. Fun. Okay, so don't touch that prized microphone possession. You know,
so I need it. I speak into it too often. Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Cool. That's fun. I think we had to do that just because we already referenced the Kickstarter and everything, you know, we have to go back to Metro City.
We have to now.
Okay, so let's get into the this or that. Again, I'll ask these. You don't have to, it's not like, you know, 3 seconds on the clock, you have to do it, but I've got a long list. So we've got, if you don't make it all the way to the end, that's fine. If we do make it all the way to the end, that's going to be interesting because you'll have a lot of responses here. But there's no right or wrong, but we'll hit it off at the start with this first one. Tekken or Street Fighter?
Oh, baby. Street Fighter. I'm a Street Fighter guy.
Street Fighter, okay.
I love Tekken 2, though. I love both, but Street Fighter for me. I'm a Capcom head, first and foremost.
Yeah, agreed. I as well. What do you think tips the scales? Like, what's the favorite Street Fighter that it's just you couldn't do without?
I really love the Alpha series. I love how all three of them are very distinctly like different feeling games in feel, and like, yeah, the first two share a couple backgrounds here or there, right? Or there, you know, some music or whatever, right? And then of course three is like in outer space. That game is just what even, right? Like, yeah. I still think about that. Might be, when people ask me what my favorite fighting game is, it might be Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Yeah,
it might be.
Yeah, Alpha 3 is up there for me as well. Yeah. I mean, that world tour mode, like as a console kid and everything, like when I got that world tour mode, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is going to be like hours and hours and hours of like all these like dynamic battles and stipulations and things. I mean, I guess years later, like Soul Calibur 2 would have like their adventure mode and everything. That was kind of cool. But I just loved that world tour mode of Alpha 3, like for sure.
That was fun when I got the game home, for sure. But like, even just of course just playing at the arcade was just like, whoa, man. Street Fighter Alpha 3 was the first game, or excuse me, Street Fighter Zero 3 was the first game I ever imported, actually, ever, from Japan. I did it for Dreamcast because it just wasn't out here yet. So it's just like, I want to play it right now. So I got it.
Yep. Okay. SNES or Genesis? Or Mega Drive for you European listeners.
SNES, please. SNES by a mile. Okay. Not even close. Sorry. Yes, I know. Everyone, that Genesis sound chip, no thank you. SNES for me, baby. Them smooth, silky sounds. Oh, yeah. It's not just sound, of course.
Blast processing, okay? You didn't have that in your SNES.
That processor was pokey, believe you me. We see all those, like, games from the first 18 months that are Slowdown City. My favorite SNES game is Super Ghouls and Ghosts. That is the slowdown, baby. I tell you what. But here's the thing, if you want a quote-unquote real answer, I actually just recorded a solo episode about this on Fine Time. Look forward to that in the future, where I talked about my five favorite Super Nintendo games. And the reason why I love the Super Nintendo, I said, is because of the vast library of games that are good to great. You have a very good chance of just picking up a Super Nintendo game you never heard of and it being good. I don't think you have that on Genesis, and certainly not on NES or Master System or anything. I just think the hit rate on Super Nintendo is so high that, like, again, you could just pick up a random game and it'll probably be good, or at least decent. That's Super Nintendo. There's not a whole lot at the top for me. Right, there's not a whole lot of all timers, but the like I said, the games that are like 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10, so many. That's why I love that system.
It's good. Yeah. I mean, it's true. I had a Genesis. My best friend had an SNES. I always just wanted to go to his house for the weekends and play Final Fight or Link to the Past or Mario World or all these things that just were not happening on my Genesis. And I didn't even have the good games. Yeah. I never had Streets of Rage. I never had like any of the big stuff. I had Greatest Heavyweights, a boxing game, an NBA Jam Tournament Edition, which was a great Christmas gift. Vector Man, you know, I enjoyed a little, you know, cheesy, gimmicky 3D game, but
yeah,
I just didn't have those same hits that, you know, they had on their SNES. So
Everyone I knew had a Genesis, including my cousin. I was in love with the Sonic. By the time Sonic came out, oh baby, it was over. I love Sonic. Don't get me wrong, I don't hate Genesis or anything, but please, if we're gonna pick one, it's Super Nintendo all the way for sure.
Okay, so thinking of like a controller, like an analog stick and the D-pad on the lower spot, or the D-pad and the analog stick, so like an Xbox or a PlayStation style like layout.
I think I prefer them offset. I think I prefer them like Xbox style, although I am a PlayStation person, and I definitely don't have any problem with any DualShock, or in this case now DualSense. I think I actually, if I were making a controller, I would do it the Xbox way, or I guess you could also say GameCube way, with the C nub down there and then the, you know, I think I like that better.
Even Dreamcast had the D-pad and then the analog on like the inset of where your thumb would be. Or no, that was opposite. No, that's the way you were saying. So analog under your thumb, D-pad, you'd move into like inset a little bit.
I like it that way. Offset, that is. Although the Dreamcast obviously doesn't have two analog sticks, but it is that same feel, of course. I never really thought about that. I think I do prefer offset.
All right. So this is like an MMO question, but tank or DPS? This could be your Marvel Rivals question.
Oh yeah, and Overwatch. I played Overwatch for years. I love tank. I love tanking. If we want to apply it to the hero shooters, my most used character in Overwatch was Winston. Absolutely. I love doing that. And currently in Marvel Rivals, I love Doctor Strange, Magneto. That is my thing. I just really like to get, because I love to control the pace. I cannot stand coward tanks, man, who are just backing off the payload and it's like, oh, I'm so scared. I have 10,000 HP. What am I going to do? How about get in there and trust your team, right? So if I can control that, I get to push. No, we're stopping here. That's my power fantasy.
I mean, a good tank knows they're like the rally point, and you gotta get in there and trust your support's gonna get you or whatever it may be. I remember Overwatch when it first came out, wanting to find my character, who was it gonna be? And I love that about that game, was it's not like you just picked one and that was it. It was this rock, paper, scissors mindset. If you're like losing against the opposing team, you're like, all right, let me go to my second or my third. Like you had a little bit of a small rotation. But whenever like the going would get tough and like our tank would abandon or like whatever, I just like love pulling out my Reinhardt, and I don't think I was like the best or anything with it, but like I had great games with them, and it was always like my backup plan. It was always like, hey, I'm going to take over tank because you're not doing so hot, and then feeling like, oh, I'm pushing us to victory here. Like I'm doing my job.
I love that. Magneto gives me that. One of my favorite tanks in he came out later, obviously it wasn't at launch, but Sigma in Overwatch. Sigma was like probably, besides Winston, my favorite tank to use. Magneto in Marvel Rivals gives me that. And God, I can't say, I mean, like, God, how many times, I mean, I play support too, and like, how many times has a tank, just coward tank, backed up and just got me killed? Yeah. I'm trying to be like, hey, I'm Mercy here. I'm healing you. Stop running away. You're just going to kill everybody. You've got to push. Damn it. Anyway.
Cool. Well, you may have already revealed the answer to this, but arcade or console?
Arcade. I was an arcade head growing up. I was an arcade kid, 80s and 90s. I played them all, buddy. I was born in 82, so I was born at the right time to see, you know, maybe not Pac-Man and, you know, asteroids and stuff like that, but definitely the stuff after, getting into the late 80s all through the 90s, oh baby, I'm so glad I was born at the right time for that. And I was born in a big enough city where I could go to many arcades, and you know, and that's something I didn't realize how privileged I was growing up. It's just like, yeah, I'm from San Diego, so arcades abundant, right? I didn't realize if you're from some small town maybe in the Midwest, you had like a few machines at your Pizza Hut and that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't really think about that until I started talking to many other people about video games. It's like, oh, that's just literally a location thing. Not because, you know, before I'd be like, how have you never played Final Fight before? What's wrong with you? Right. But then it's like, oh, maybe people just literally haven't encountered that. So,
yeah, I grew up in a real small town out here in the middle of nowhere, Arizona. I was born in California, moved out here. Moved back to California. I've gone back and forth like four times in my life. Age 4 to like age 12, I was out here in the middle of nowhere, Arizona, and there was one arcade near this theater, and I always thought it was a decent arcade. I mean, he had probably like 30 different cabinets and some pinball machines and everything. Like, it was a decent sized arcade, but that was it. Like, you know, like I wouldn't have known an arcade game existed if it wasn't in that building. And clearly there were more games than what was there. And, you know, we occasionally go into like a random, like same thing, like a Pizza Hut or a laundromat or something like that. And seeing like an SNK game, like, oh my gosh, like what is this? Like, this isn't in TJ's arcade. Like what is this game? I want to play more of this. And
exactly. Yeah.
I always wanted a big one. And then eventually there was, it was shortly before we moved back to California where I had far more exposure to things. A big GameWorks opened up at this big mall out here. And it was like a two-story GameWorks. They had a full a full Daytona USA like gauntlet and everything. They had this arcade shooter that was like in a three-story thing where you rose and lowered yourself like on like a little like almost like a roller coaster seat. Like, it was a giant arcade that was super rad.
It sounds so cool. Yeah, I went to a GameWorks in Vegas one time, and they had an 8-player Daytona USA 2. Like, they just took up the entire side of a wall, right? And this was like a 3-story GameWorks. It was Las Vegas, right? So, like, yeah, it was insane. Getting to see gigantic cabinets like that and so many of them was a trip.
Yeah, that's rad. Cool. Okay, next, Daytona USA or Ridge Racer?
Ridge Racer. I'm a Namco guy. I'm a Namco lover. I love Ridge Racer. Oh God, one of my favorite cabinets was at one of the bigger arcades in town that we go to. They had a Rage Racer. And it was the only place in town that had, not Rage Racer, I'm sorry, that's the PS1 game, Rave Racer. I always do that. Rage Racer PS1, Rave Racer Arcade, two distinct games, everybody, believe it or not. They had a Rave Racer, and it's the only place I've ever seen one in my entire life, and I felt lucky to have even played that now, considering how other people talk about this cabinet mythically. The Ridge Racer series, for sure. I love Daytona USA. Don't get me wrong. Shit, I love the Dreamcast sort of remake of all of them. You know, kind of has like tracks from a whole bunch and a few new ones. I played the hell out of that one. So I love Daytona USA, but Ridge Racer for me.
Okay, Ninja Gaiden or Shinobi?
That's tough. Oh man, that is a toughie. If we stopped at the 90s, I would have said Ninja Gaiden, but I don't like the 2004 and onward. I don't like the 3D stuff. So I think I'm going to have to say Shinobi, and that's because I love the 3D. Shinobi 2002 is like one of my favorite PS2 games, period. I love that game. So, and I love Shinobi 3 as well. I love the arcade original. I think I'll have to say Shinobi by a little bit.
Okay, by a little bit. So it's a close one.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy?
Oh, Dragon Quest. For sure. I haven't even played every Final Fantasy. Not that I've played every single Dragon Quest either, but I've played a lot more Dragon Quest than I have Final Fantasy. I've never played like 5 or 6 Final Fantasy. I played Final Fantasy 4 Advance. Yeah. That's like the only Super Nintendo one I've played. I got into RPGs late in my life, quote unquote late. I got into when I was like a teenager. You know, so the first one I played is like Chrono Trigger and stuff like that. So that, because that was like the newest thing at the time. So yeah, I kind of missed the boat on like NES Final Fantasy and stuff. But yeah, Dragon Quest for me, Akira Toriyama was my favorite artist ever. So gotta go Dragon Quest.
Sure. Yeah. Jack and Daxter or Ratchet and Clank?
Oh boy. Man. That's a good question. I think I'll say Jack and Daxter. Okay. Can I do that? So here's the thing. I love that first Jack and Daxter game, and I hate the rest of them.
Yeah, I'm the same.
So, I think I might have to say Ratchet and Clank, even though I don't like any of them as much as that first Jack and Daxter game. I think overall, I'd much rather play Ratchet and Clank. Yeah. That's how I'll parse it.
That's essentially my same answer. That first Jack and Daxter is like one of my favorite like 3D platformers. Like I just think like the adventure and like the vibes I get from that are so great. And yeah. Two immediately just like lost that for me. And so like I never really quite loved the series at all after that first one. But that first one, I had a saved file on my memory card of having all like 100 precursor orbs. And I was just thinking like, I'm going to keep this save file just in case somebody comes over and I need to show them that I have 100% of this. It's like before trophies were a thing, I was like wanting to make sure I had some type of relic showing that like, yep, I know what's up. And when they
I definitely did that.
Yeah. When they with, re-released
not
it.
Not Jack and Dax. I'm sorry.
Oh no, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say I used to do that with Mario 64 with the 120 stars. Yeah. I definitely turned on the thing and be like, hey, look, see, I got it. Yeah. And this is before, you know, I didn't have the strategy guide. And this is, yeah, you could look up some stuff on game FAQs, but not everything sometimes, right? So I found all 120 of those stars basically by myself. So I was pretty proud of it.
I think we did. Yeah. I think I did a bunch of those stars, most of them as much as I could. But I think then I had to go to school, ask some kids, you know, get some type of assistance and everything at that time. But yeah, you'd keep one of those four save slots, like 120 star file, and you'd erase and start over other ones. But you had one that was like, yep, I got everything here.
I always kept my original one from launch. Yep.
Okay. First person or third person?
Wow. That's a good question. I think I'll say first person. I think I'll say first person. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that benefit from being. Yeah. So I always play Fallout first person. Yeah. I'll say first person. It's not by much, though.
Okay. Let's do a couple more of these. This list is actually like we're 25% through this list, so this is perfect because we'll be able to do like another episode of this or something like that for sure.
I love these. I'll always come back for this.
Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley?
So I've never played Stardew Valley. And I've rarely played a Harvest Moon. I played a little bit of one on Super Famicom Nintendo Switch Online, because it's on there, and I was doing it just to see, because I've been learning Japanese, I've been doing it to see, okay, can I really read this game? The answer was kind of, I should go back and try it now. But yeah, I like the aesthetic of Harvest Moon so much more than Stardew Valley. Stardew Valley doesn't do much for me artistically.
Yeah,
it's probably a great game, but just looking at it, Harvest Moon for me for sure.
To me, I was the early Harvest Moon games, played plenty of them, love them. Like the original PS1 and Game Boy Advance ones, like those two are like tied for like some of my favorite games of all time, potentially. Stardew Valley, I think, just got like all of the best mechanics and all of the content from all of the best parts of all of those games and kind of put it into one game on top of like having a clear, great like pacing and like flow of the game design that those Harvest Moon games could struggle with. It felt like it did everything right, but it's all one and done. You know, sometimes it's nice to discover a new mechanic or try something different within a game, but like Stardew Valley just has everything and it does it well. So those casual games, if you love to kind of just zone out and have some fun and, you know, resource management your way through some farming, they're entertaining games for sure.
I do like resource management. Maybe I should check it out sometime.
Console or PC?
Oh, I'm a console guy through and through. I've never been much of a PC person. I think the first thing I ever played on PC, like a lot of people probably in our age group, is Doom. just mm-hmm. because it's like that was the premier place to play it. None of the ports are very good. I had until PS1. That was the first time I played it at home where I was like, okay, I can play Doom on my TV finally. You had an acceptable frame rate and it looks okay. But yeah, console for me, man. I've never been. About a year ago now, I got a Steam Deck. This is the most like PC quote unquote gaming I've done in my entire life. So that's how I played pools and stuff like that. So.
Let's do the last one, and we will do Ryu or Ken.
Ken. Ken for sure. I've always been a Ken person, especially starting in Super Street Fighter 2 when he got the flaming uppercut. Forget about it. Mm-hmm. It's over. It's Ken.
Yeah, once you started having some differences and some variety to who they were, like the fans being able to like see like, oh, like there's a couple different like attacks that are different animations, and so you have a little bit of a different rhythm. Well, yes, they essentially you can jump in and it's like riding a car and you could probably drive either one of them pretty well. Like to mm-hmm. master them, you can see like some variety there. And like, yeah, I always liked the idea that Ken wasn't the popular one, but he was the cool one. And that was the one that I always liked to pick, you know, if I had to pick between the two myself.
For sure, man. He was the cool American character. See, Guile was a dork to me. I didn't really mm-hmm. whatever, right? And yeah. then there's Balrog, who is essentially Mike Tyson. So it's like that's a known entity, right? Yeah. Ken was like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, Ken for me, for sure. There's nothing wrong with Ryu, but definitely Ken.
Yeah, it's weird. Capcom changed M. Bison's name in the American release because they didn't want to infringe on somebody else's copyright, so they avoided being sued. Good thing Capcom's aware of how to avoid being sued and avoid copyright issues. Anywho, that's neither here nor there. Good job, Capcom. I appreciate you and respect you and love you.
You know what I always wondered? You know what I always wondered? Why did they play musical chairs with the names? Why didn't they just rename that character? That never made any sense to me.
Yes, like they could have easily just swapped the one name, but not only that, they could have just swapped two characters' names and that's it. But instead, they get three characters involved to all switch this triad of like nicknames around.
I don't know why they did that. It was so weird.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's that. Then we have plenty more to ask. Then we can easily do a this or that too with Andre in the future. So I'm looking forward to that. You were a very great participant. I loved the struggle of you going with the gut and then hearing you kind of flesh it out and explain it. So that's the way I like to hear it.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all we got. We did it again. That was the show. We answered the question and we are done. Anything else that you'd like to plug or share? Again, like I said, the show notes below will have the links to Find Time and everything there and your B-Sky page and whatnot. But any cool upcoming episodes or events or projects that you have on the pipeline to look out for?
Probably. I don't know if it'll be by the time this airs, but probably around this time. We will be airing on Find Time a BioShock trilogy of episodes, BioShock, BioShock 2, BioShock Infinite. I had never played them before, ever, until like last fall when we played them and recorded those episodes. That's how far out we record stuff, everybody. So like, yeah, I'm looking forward to airing those because I played them with me and a friend. We both had never played them before. This is our first impressions of the entire thing. So yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I hope people enjoy those because that's a lot of game to go through and they're fun episodes.
Fun. I'll look out for that then. So cool. Appreciate your time. It was fun having you. I definitely want to have you back on the future episodes and do more of these for sure. Andre, it was rad chatting with you. Yeah. Have a good one.
This was fun. Yeah. Thank you.